podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody. And in honor of all the mothers, it is a fitting moment to honor all the mothers. I was just thinking about how many times my children would have suffered with tooth decay if not for their mother, and I would not have guided them accordingly. And it's just sometimes we don't give honor where honor is due. I do want to give a greeting to my daughter-in-law, Christy, who listens in. She's my daughter-in-law who listens to me even when I'm here. And she's the mother of our youngest granddaughter. This is Sophia Christina Bonifacio. Apparently, when babies are born, they have whiteheads. Can you see her whiteheads? You can barely see it. And this is her with her eyes open, just giving you a greeting from our family back home. My message this morning is entitled Wonder Women, and we're taking a break from our usual Genesis to acknowledge and to honor not just women and mothers, but also to speak about a very special word from the Bible pertaining to desperate situations. I tweeted this morning about why I titled it Wonder Women. And it's not because women are wondering where the next sale is or where they left their phone or where they left their keys. The reason is because of the book of Proverbs. It says, Happy Mother's Day, everyone. Why are women a wonder? Proverbs 14:1 says, A woman is capable of building her house and is just as capable of tearing it down with her own hands. Think about how possible that is. And that's a lot of power for good and for bad. The verse in Proverbs 14:1 says, The wise woman builds her house. And that word is the word bana, which is literally and figuratively capacity with her own hands to create something. And when I think about my wife and how my children have turned out to be when they first were born and you're wondering what did we come up with or what were they going to turn out to be, I realize now that my wife had indeed the capacity to build the future. And then it also says that in her own hands, the foolish one has the capacity to tear her house down. By the way, your house is not the figure, the actual physical house. Your house is your home, your family, the people around you. It says the reason why that is possible is because one is wise, someone who fears the Lord, and the other one is foolish. Someone who does things at whim or whatever they desire. One will build something, the other one will tear something down. When I was meditating about wonder women, one of the women I thought of was the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. A desperate situation, a situation where they're aging, and it's a situation where there's vast, massive corruption in the land. And God was ushering in a new way of doing life. He was about to send Jesus, and this was the precursor to the arrival of Christ. It was a setup in the midst of a desperate situation. And at the end of the story, the Bible says that the people wondered. They began to wonder. They were blown away by the whole result of this desperate situation. The story begins in Luke chapter 1, verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Okay, now, in the days of Herod, I want you to take note of this. This is a moment of great corruption. Herod was not a Jew. He was a fake Jew who became the king, and he conspired with the Romans, and he's conspired with everybody to rule the land. But his corruption was so great because he created the Herodians. In Mark chapter 6, 3 verse 6, he created this party, this political party that basically conjured together with the religious people, the Pharisees. Now the politics of the day and the religion of the day were in cahoots with one another. And in this particular passage, the second passage, they were plotting to kill Jesus. Corruption. When you now have a mixture of both the politics and the religion, that they might kill Jesus. Now, in the first verse, this was the beginning of that corruption. In the midst of that, the Bible says there was a priest whose name was Zechariah, and there was a wife whose name was Elizabeth. an angel shows up in Zechariah's moment, but it also says in verse 6 that they were both righteous before God. Now think about this. The situation is very corrupt. Everything around them was bad, but in the midst of that, they were church people. They were good people. They were righteous people. They were doing what was blameless before God. The Bible says they were obeying God's commands and God's statutes in the midst of the corrupt system that they were in. It's possible that you're in a corrupt situation, but in the midst of that, you could be living for God. Verse 7 says, but they had no child. Now think about this. They're righteous in a corrupt situation. They love God, but there was something wrong. They had no child. In those days, what that meant was they had no future. They had no economic future because as you age, you're going to need children to fend for you. They didn't have proper care in the future, and worse, there was no posterity to continue the lineage. It was a bad situation. And part of that was because Elizabeth was barren, and the word was out. This supposed woman of God is barren, and in those days, that was considered someone was cursed. Someone was not functioning right. Worse, they were both advanced in years. In other words, they're running out of time. It's desperate. When you think about a situation where your future, that might be you, where you're looking forward to the future, it doesn't look bright. The future doesn't look bright. Not only does it look bright, it feels like I'm cursed, and yet I go to church, I'm righteous, I've been tithing, I go do everything, I come and serve in different capacities. And not only that, it seems like years are catching up. I turned 61 this month. But you could be serving till you're 91 if you take good care of yourself. Verse 8 says, now while he was serving as a priest before God when his division was on duty. Now, his division, to make you understand this, there were about 1,000 priests in those days. And they were divided into divisions. So there's several divisions and several priests. And the chances of you getting picked out of lot to be able to serve on that day was minuscule at best. According to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot. In other words, they had this big pot where they choose by lot a draw. And by the stroke of a draw, he was picked. Your lucky day. How many of you know when that happens to you, you should be up and about rejoicing, but this man is advanced in years, and sometimes that's what happens to us. The years, the months, the days, the weeks, the discouragements, the different things that happen to us, we kind of forget the dreams and the visions that God has given us. Not sure he was very excited. To give you a picture, typically they would put strings on your legs with bells on it. Because he's about to enter the Holy of Holies, and they'd have a big rope tied around you just in case you were living in sin and God strikes you dead so they can pull you out. Basically, what goes on is they're listening for you walking inside the Holy of Holies, and as long as those bells were ringing, then they know you're alive. When you're no longer moving and that rope's not moving and the bells have stopped, then maybe God struck the priest down. We've got to pull him out because nobody can just go in there. They've got to wait for God to let someone in there. And God let this man in on this particular day. Notice where it says, according to the custom, he was chosen by lot. Now, the multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. They're praying. They're waiting for him. He's walking into the Holy of Holies. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar. Now, you're following. They pick him by lot, out of a thousand people. He walks in. He's probably discouraged, encouraged. I don't know what was the emotion. He gets in there, and an angel appears. This is his lucky day. People get picked by lot into the Holy of Holies, but they don't necessarily encounter an angel in there. He does. Verse 12, Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid. This is a rhetoric that we keep finding in Scripture. Whenever we encounter God's majestic presence, there's that fear. This is not even God himself. This is just an angel. And yet there was fear. And so the angel obviously assuages that fear and says, do not be afraid. In fact, don't just be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Now, he gets drawn, picked. He gets to get into the Holy of Holies. An angel appears. And the good news is the angel is not going to kill him. The angel is bringing him something fantastic. Your prayer has been heard. How many of you have had prayers? And this is probably the situation of this man. That you've prayed and prayed and prayed, and after many years, the answer hasn't come, and you've actually forgotten the prayer. But you don't even remember it anymore. To the point where, when the answer to prayer comes, you don't even believe that God answered your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son. I'm sure there have been dozens and dozens of nights when this older couple have been crying out to God for a son. The angel says, you shall call his name John. And this is one parenting advice you can get from heaven, by the way. Name your children properly. Are you here? Don't name him because I saw a cute dog and I wanted to name my son after that dog. Or I saw a cute emoji or whatever. I mean, name your son because your sons and children's names, by the way, do have a destiny. When you speak it to them. This child wasn't even born yet, and yet God had a purpose and a destiny for this child. The importance of motherhood cannot only be so significant that even when your child is in your womb, you should be speaking life into that womb. By the way, the safest place for your child is that womb. That's the place of protection. That's the place of incubation. That's why a woman is called a womb man, a man with a womb. Men don't have wombs, amen? If you have a womb and you're a man, you're weird. Women are different. They're men, they're humans, they're men with wombs because they incubate, they carry dreams, they carry the future. That's why they're wonder women. They're different. In essence, the angel said, God heard you. Not only did God hear you, the future is bright. In fact, it's so bright, let me paint you a picture. This is kind of connected to our vision message on Abraham. God gives him a vision. He says, let me give you a picture of what this future looks like. Verse 14, he says, you will have joy and gladness. Zechariah, think about this. You just did not get picked. You did not just get in there. You did not just meet an angel. I don't just have good news. The good news is you're going to have a child, and it will be so much joy and gladness. Learn a parenting advice from heaven, by the way. Whenever you see your children, as much as they misbehave or do stuff, don't react. Just say, you will bring me joy and gladness, even though they're bringing you misery right now. Amen? Speak things as though they are, even though they're not. That's the amazing thing about my wife. She did that for years. She looked at those boys and she would say, you have a destiny, you have a purpose, you're going to be great. You're going to be a blessing. My son David once asked me, if I met a girl who looked like mom, would you advise me to marry her? I said, absolutely yes. Of course, not everybody's going to be like my wife, but I told him, if you ever meet a girl who's just like mom, he said, I would recommend that you marry her. And then he was actually baiting me, and his question was, now, if you had a daughter and she asked you, would you let her marry? I mean, she met a man who was just like you, would you ask her to marry you? And I thought for a while, I said, I'm not very sure. It's fascinating how a woman can change that and can speak goodness. And I don't want to force this on you. It's about hearing and catching a dream and a vision from God. 1989, this was in the days when there were no computers and nothing. My wife and I had a manufacturing company, and she was my advertising agency. And she was a university graduate, had a great career, smart girl, gave it up and went home in 1989 because of word from God. Go home and take care of your kids. And to this day, there is no regret. We have less money. We're not as rich as our friends, but we're happy because we caught the vision. And she decided to spend time and speak. I remember her father spoke to her and said, I didn't put you through all that education and get you all that thing to be somebody's nanny or yaya. And she said, no better person can raise my kids than I would. Gladness. And you will rejoice at his birth, he says. And he will be great before the Lord. You need to speak this to your children. You'll be great. You'll be fantastic. I always said this to my sons growing up. I said, you will at the very least, I would dramatize, I would, at the very least, maybe 5, maybe 6, maybe 10. No. 20 times better than me, at least. You plant that in their hearts when they're young and you sow that seed in that moldable heart when they're there, when they're soft. It says, and he must not drink wine or strong drink. By the way, just a quick thing here. There's a difference, the Bible says, between beer, wine, and a strong drink. I think a strong drink would be something like whiskey, amen? And I'm not in any way telling you not to drink wine. I don't think that there's a purpose. This man was told not to do that because he was a Nazirite. And his purpose was to announce the coming of Jesus. The point in saying this is there's certain things in that child that you have to do that is not for everybody. What I did when my kids were small was I refused to let them watch television until they became teenagers. I would regulate that. I would only let them watch videos because I would tell them, your minds, your eyes are like cameras and your brains are like recording equipment. And they record everything you see. And I don't want them to watch murder and rape and all sorts of things happening on television. And to this day, my children thank me for protecting their eyes because their eyes were too young to see that. Their souls were too fine and that fabric was just too soft. But there's things that we need to prevent our children from seeing. And he says the reason he can do that is not because he's strong, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And the encouragement is even this. You can have that in your mother's womb. You can speak that into existence long before your children are born. Sometimes you wait for the thing that we see rather than declaring, God, you can make this happen for me. Verse 16, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. I want to just encourage you. When my children were growing up, the ambition was not to get rich. The ambition was not to own their business. The ambition was to serve God. The promise was if we were to serve God with all our might, God will bless us. Amen? Some of you don't believe that. When the precursor to our blessing is first wealth and success. God, I want to have a college degree. I remember years ago, there was a startup school. And this is when we were praying and we had our first baby. And he's about to go to school, Joseph. And we found out that there was a Christian school that was starting out. It was a pioneering school. It was going to start in a rundown radio station. And I came from one of the premier universities in my nation. And it was the expectation of my parents and my in-laws that my kids will all go to that same university from the time they go to school. But we heard clearly from God that we were not to do that. In fact, we were to do the opposite. We were to bring our child into this pioneering school. It was funny because when you went to the school, it looked like it was a dilapidated school, and my in-laws and my parents were all ticked off and a little bit mad at us for doing that and putting our little boy in there. You know, it was funny. We got there, and Gary Valenciano and his sons were there. We were one of the pioneers in that school. And we put our children there. In fact, we supported the school to the disdain of our own relatives. But we heard from God, and we trusted God. Eventually, when my kids went to university, they still ended up in the same university. But there was a moment when we had to incubate them there to learn what it is like to walk amongst Christians. And he says he will go in the Spirit and the power of Elijah, the power of the Holy Ghost is what's going to drive your children, not their wisdom, not their experiences, not their background, not their connections. That was the main thing that my relatives kept saying. They won't have connections. And I plugged them in church. And by the way, those classmates that they had in there, some of them came from backgrounds of very poor, impoverished families. They're their best friends to this day. Sometimes our understanding of God's ways is demanded by what the world says rather than what God says. And we've got to catch a vision that comes from God. To turn the hearts of the fathers, the power of our children, to turn my in-laws and my relatives. I began to see the miracle of my own parenting out of my children as the years have gone by. And now that they become fathers themselves. How would you respond if you were given this vision from God? Zechariah chapter 1 verse 18 says, Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? It's a fair question, isn't it? You're telling me that my future is bright. You're telling me that all this is going to happen when I'm old. You're telling me because my wife hasn't had a child that this is still possible. It's a fair question. How shall I know this? But what's not fair is the next line, for I am an old man. And basically, it's a declaration. He's no longer asking a question. He's making a statement. It can't happen. In fact, it not only can't happen, the last statement is, it's too late. And if there's anything you're going to understand about God, never, ever tell God anything is too late. Amen? Because with Him, nothing is impossible. And nothing is ever too late. Verse 19, the angel answered him, I'm Gabriel, I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. Think about this, Zechariah. You got pulled out from a lot. You're in the Holy of Holies where you shouldn't be. An angel has visited you. He sent you a message, and the message has been plainly presented to you in all its positivity, and you're reacting this way. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things come to pass. Because you did not believe my words, you will be unable to speak. If you're going to learn anything this morning, never, ever contradict what God has said. In fact, on the contrary, open your Bible and declare His word over your life. Because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in the fullness of their time. All the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at this delay in the temple. When he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision. There's that vision thing. God does give visions. We talked about this 2 weeks ago, crying out to God, God, give me a picture of the future. And he kept making signs, but he remained mute, still couldn't speak, because God has given him a vision, but he refused to agree with the vision. After this, his wife Elizabeth was conceived. That word is the word sulambano, which simply means to arrest, to be captive of a thought. Not only that, for 5 months she kept herself hidden or incubated that dream. There's a place where we receive and arrest, and this is what a woman can do. That's what the woman does, conceives the dreams. I look at my wife and the dreams that she has for her children. And incubates that and keeps that and watches that. And while she believes that these children are going to be great, they're breaking things and messing up things and are doing the wrong things, but still trusting. Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when He looked on me and take away my reproach among the people. What do you do when you're waiting and incubating? Keep proclaiming the goodness of God over your life. Verse 57, now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Try and explain this situation to you. My son Joshua has had 2 successive miscarriages. He's lost 2 babies and been praying to God and been very discouraged. Got to the place where he was bitter against God. And one day, Jim LaFoon, who's a friend, came to Manila and prayed over him and looked at him and said, stop fretting, stop wasting your time and being offended. God's going to give you 2 sons. He's going to give you a boy and He's going to give you a girl. And he received that and incubated that and kept that dream. And a few months later, his wife was pregnant. And a few months later, she gave birth to a son. And now, his wife has a daughter. When was the last time you heard a vision from God that you conceived and incubated and kept? Verse 58 says, her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her. And they rejoiced with her. Neighbors showed up. And they were enjoying the good news. But they had a different idea about how to run her life. On the 8th day, it came this day of circumcision, the child, they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, and this is where mothers come in. No. His mother said, no, it's not going to be your ways. It's not going to be your plans, not your decision. It's God's decision. No, he should be called John. And they said to her, none of your relatives is called by that name. There's nobody in your relationship. You're the only one. Why are you changed? Where did you even get that name? Why did you believe that vision? Why are you suddenly believing what we never believed? Why are you trying to break away? Why are you believing for greatness? And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, his name is John. And all of them wondered. It's that idea of being amazed. As I close, and I want to set this up really just to worship the Lord. That's what she did. What causes people to wonder when amazing things happen in our lives? What makes amazing things happen in our lives? When we arrest God's vision for our lives. When we incubate it over time. And we protect it regardless of what other people say. The closing of Luke 1 is verse 64. And immediately, John's mouth, or Zechariah's mouth, was opened. And his tongue was loosed and he spoke, blessing God. Amen? God, we just so appreciate your word this morning. If you have something that is impossible that you're facing right now, whatever it is, I want you to hear what the Word has said to us this morning. Nothing is impossible with God.
Yes.
Don't give up. God's miracle power through the Holy Spirit is in you. Capture that dream and that vision that God has given you. Don't let go. Father, let those dreams and visions be conceived inside of us. Lord, teach us to learn to be patient and incubate them properly through prayer, through the meditation of your word, as Elizabeth did, sir. Lord, she just thanked you and praised you and acknowledged your goodness. And Father, teach us to guard it and to protect it, regardless of what anything or anyone or any situation we face. Give us the grace and the ability to guard that dream in our hearts. We believe this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.